Hi, this is Jeff D.
Hi, my name is Gary Savard.
Check it out, Bubba Brinkman.
I am the Supreme Irreverend Dr. Randy Tyson.
Hi, this is Jody Emery.
Hi, I'm R.N. Rod.
Hi, I'm James Randi.
Hi, this is Phil Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Michael Shermer.
Hi, I'm Eli Bosnick.
Hi, this is David Silverman from American Atheists, and I took a left at the Valley.
And that was the best turn I ever made.
I know we shouldn't have to scream that we're atheists, you know, we don't have non-astrologers and all that, but with religious people taking over the world, I mean, we can either speak up or be pushed into a corner.
I'm proud to be an atheist, a skeptic, a non-believer, an infidel, a heathen, I call it how I see it. I say it's ignorance and you just call it faith in unsubstantiated claims, that's something to be ashamed. I'm an atheist.
Coming at you from somewhere in Abbotsford, B.C., this is Left of the Valley. My name is Kevin, and I am flying solo today, because this is a bonus episode. Guys, you might not know this, but last night we were actually featured on the Brainstorm podcast. We were invited by Corey Johnson that we had on the show previously before. And we had a blast with these guys. I mean, they had like five, six of them in the studio, and there was four of us in here in this studio, and it was just a mayhem, an hour of mayhem. And I had the great idea of maybe pushing record during the whole thing. I'm sorry for the background noise. There's a whole bunch of things going on here at the same time. Apologize about that. But I thought I would actually share this with you guys. Behind the scenes look at what goes on during a podcast before and after. And with the great people at Brainstorm, we had absolutely a lot of fun with them. So here it is, a Brainstorm podcast recording of Left of the Valley. So maybe I'll call the show Left of the Valley versus Brainstorm. So if you want to have an hour of just mayhem and raunchy jokes and everything like that, stay tuned and enjoy the show. Thanks, guys.
Nice.
Should we just talk like that at all?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, my God.
I actually am not capable of doing that.
I see what's going on. Okay, one sec, everybody. Sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulty there.
That's okay. We're just practicing blowjobs on microphones.
I want to make sure this is working. Yeah, for some reason, I can't get this clip to play.
We're going
to
separate into two groups and I'll practice.
One sec here.
Should we do like an a cappella version of
my blowjobs?
Yeah, that one wouldn't play for some reason. That's fucked up. Anyway, okay, now we're good.
I don't want to talk about blowjobs anymore. I'm feeling uncomfortable.
Too late now.
Valley visits.
Too late now.
Yeah, the intro music wouldn't play for whatever reason. Description.
We could just like
Left of the Valley.
Make it sing it. Yeah.
Brainstorm. Religions are all bullshit or something, right? That's how it goes.
No, it's all different now.
Yeah, well, the whole thing has changed the world before.
And this new one isn't there yet, but
puts on its pajamas. Nope, that doesn't sound right.
I think that's the PG version.
Yes.
Hey, can you guys yes. hear this? If I play something like this,
I'm sorry.
I hear that a little bit. Okay. What are you doing?
I was just wondering.
Are you petting your microphone?
In very sensuous ways.
I see. Well, you're not sharing your video.
Storm.
You're all a bunch of nudists, aren't you?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I see.
That's why you don't have video on.
That's exactly. Why it's called Left of the Valley. Stop it hangs left.
Pants, shirts.
Okay, this time I'm for real. Here we go.
We all made right. It.
All right, see you in a bit.
When dealing with a falsehood, you're faced with two options. You can accept it or you can reject it. The basis upon which we take one of these actions is a product of our critical thinking capabilities and a desire to know what is true instead of confirming our bias. A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes. On Brainstorm, we choose the hard truths over the comforting lies. Reason, compassion, skepticism. This is the Brainstorm Podcast.
All right.
Hi, and welcome to the Brainstorm Podcast Skeptic Studio, the interview portion of the Brainstorm Podcast. I'm Corey, and my panel tonight are Lisa.
It's me.
Angela.
Hello.
Brandon.
Howdy.
Renee.
Hello.
And, of course, the always amazing Dave doing sound.
Hey.
We're here in Roman Empire Studios in Regina, Saskatchewan, and today is April 13th, 2018. Tonight we're talking to four members of the Left at the Valley podcast.
Yep.
On evil Friday the 13th.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah.
Holy crap, World War III started on Friday the 13th.
Yes. Oh, geez.
No. Holy crap.
On purpose.
Hi, guys. Well, thank you so much for having us.
Introduce yourselves.
Well, I guess, hey, what can we say about ourselves? We're just some schmoes, you know, out in beautiful British Columbia, and we're part of the Left of the Valley podcast. My name is Kevin.
I'm Nancy.
I'm Kirsten.
And I'm Christina.
Yeah, usually we have Scott with us, but he's actually traveling your way right now, actually, so say hello, Scott, that way.
He went to get some sweet Jesus.
So I thought having you guys on, would we'd start off by hearing your deconversion stories or how you... came to label yourselves as atheists, I guess.
What? Atheist show? What kind of show is this?
We're all Catholics here.
Well, okay, maybe I'll start. I'll give you the short version. I'm originally from Quebec, so I was raised Catholic. Catholicism, like most people would know, is one of those things that you don't really wear on your sleeve, like you see a lot of evangelicals do out here. So you don't really think much about it. It's a bit like masturbation. Everybody does it, but nobody talks about it. Then my deconversion was a very slow process, actually. It took me a while because I'm a bit of a dumbass. It's only after, in my teen years, I ended up in the in mass, you know, you have to put on that horrible sweater you hate that your mom made you put on. And you went to mass, and I'm just watching these people, and they're praying and chanting and kneeling and standing and hawing and humming, and I'm thinking, geez, none of these people actually believe this crap. And that was my first step towards deconversion right there. I started realizing, yeah, you know what? I don't think I believe this stuff either. In a nutshell.
Fair enough. I also took a very long time to at least label myself an atheist. I guess I'm a dumbass too.
Hey, I thought the show was about us.
I'm relating just to kidding. The guest.
Yeah, it took me a while. I mean, it's only in a fairly recent number of years that I've actually taken my apostasy to the next level to be actually quite vocal about it. And now I guess I'm one of those, I don't know, can you see evangelical atheists? No, probably not, but, you know, those put in your face. Yeah, just put in your face for sure. Nancy, you want to talk about you?
Yeah, well, Nancy's a little Jewish girl from Chicago a long time ago, but my family was very secular after the grandparents died, so I've always been an atheist. I've never had a conversion or deconversion or brilliant moment brought to you by religion, nothing. It's just been, you know, it's just been me and the world, so that makes it short and sweet, I guess.
And we have this running gag on the show, you might not know it, Nancy is the wandering Jew of legend. She's been everywhere and has done everything. She was there when JFK was shot. She was there when Abraham Lincoln was shot. She was there for the building of the pyramids.
She's in the background of all right. those black and white pictures.
Absolutely. Right. She is the puppet right. master that pulls the strings on everything that's been happening.
That's right. Oh. I put together the original Jewish calendar. 5,000 and some years ago, there I was with my crayon trying to get all the little Hebrew letters in a row.
All joking aside, though, there's something about Nancy that is just fantastic, because as soon as we read, we used to have this segment called This Day in History, and Nancy would read something that happened on this day in history, you know, moments of that have gone through history, and she would almost have a story, a personal story about some of these events. It's like she's been to every single one of these things, so the gag just kept on going and growing. So now right now she's
oh yeah, like this happened just the day after I was in town.
Yeah. I mean, she started with JFK. She was waiting at JFK moments before he was shot, and she just happened to be on some grassy knoll somewhere. And she was holding a banjo. Well, she says it's a banjo anyway.
Don't. It's all just a screen.
I know. I tell everybody, don't ever be the oldest person in the room, because you're immediately a target. So I'm the show target, but it's okay. I love these guys, and it's fun every week.
Good. That's awesome.
All right, I guess it's my turn. I don't quite have the same story as everyone else. My family was never religious. I got dealt a different set of cards. Instead of being born into religion, I was born with one hand.
Wow. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
You were just talking about...
What you might not know is that with that one hand, she's got a mean punch. Yes. Because normally when somebody punches you, your wrist kind of gives way. But for her, it's just bare bone, right? She just, bam, knocks you right
out. It really is.
You don't want to get in the way of that punch.
Would you believe we were just talking about the mean number of hands amongst people?
Yeah, I was trying to explain that the mean number of hands of the human population is less than what most people have, right? Like, yeah. The mean number of hands must be, like, less than one. Right?
Or less than two.
But, like, even though the mode is two, the mean is less than two.
Yeah, we were trying to use statistics.
You should. There's not a couple of examples out there of people with 3-4. That'd be kind of cool, you know, just to raise the average.
Well, the question is, do conjoined twins count as one person?
That's a good question. Ooh, indeed.
Very good question.
What about those internal cysts with body parts in them?
Exactly.
There we
don't
go.
Know people. And he was asking, like, what happens if, like, a person has, like, just a finger or, like, no fingers but only a palm, and it was very... anyways.
So this is what you guys talk about on a regular basis, I see. Yeah. Brainstorming on conjoined twins and hands.
Continue.
Fantastic.
That is a personal fascination with mics.
Well, I guess I'm the only one left to spill my story. So I grew up in a very, very Christian home. I would say we were fundamentalists. It was like 6 a.m. Bible studies, young earth creation.
Oh, God, I'm going to
like,
be sick.
I was basically brainwashed with Kent Hovind videos growing up.
Oh, wow.
And, like, Alex Jones was always on at our home. And let
For
me
real?
Also mention, yeah, totally. I also have 10 siblings.
Wow. Oh, one of those quiverful sorts.
Yeah, yeah. I think until like 5 years before I was born, my parents were part of like a quiverful cult. So yeah, it was
interesting.
It was a very, very interesting growing up experience. Though, when I was about 7 years old, my family got a little less religious, so we were allowed to wear like pants and pierce our ears.
Oh, that's
and
so awesome.
So
Angela showed up in a traditional Ukrainian garb.
Oh, that's awesome.
You're right. Pants are awesome. I'm glad we can settle this tonight.
It's Mennonite. Get it right.
Sorry. Pardon my cultural insensitivity.
Sensitive.
Yeah. And then I continued being very devoutly religious until I was about 18. Like, there wasn't even a question in my mind that, like, God doesn't exist. So I have a twin sister, and she, when we were about 14, deconverted, and she's now a Wiccan. So we would have, like, these long discussions, and I would be telling her how awesome God is and how she just has to get to know him. And through these conversations, we probably had them for maybe about 6 months. And then there was one conversation where she said I sounded like a battered wife. And it flipped a switch in my brain because I was like, oh, wait, wow, I do sound like that. And within... So it happened, she said that on a Friday, and by the Monday, I was an atheist.
You know, I could totally see Jesus with a little white tank top with a spit stain on it. I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Beer in his hand.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to get past the idea of if you're raised in that fundamentalist of a family and someone goes Wiccan, I mean...
Yeah, I know, right? Well, she didn't tell anyone.
I'm kind of envisioning, Monty Python right now.
Oh, yeah. And
Dad, I can't be Catholic anymore.
Yeah, no, right?
No, I'm thinking more like, burn the witch. What do you burn other than witches?
My parents were, they were more Mennonite than Catholic.
Oh.
Yeah. Hence the young earth creation.
Were you ever threatened to be turned into a newt?
No. Thankfully not. though my sister did accuse me of being a witch because I liked Harry Potter.
Oh, God. How fitting. Well,
there's another box on the bingo sheet.
Yep, totally.
That's the thing about Christina as well. She's a huge fan of Harry Potter, and she literally infects every show we do with a Harry Potter saying or two in there for sure, for good measure. No matter how many times I try to shut off our microphone, I just can't get there in time.
I yell it.
Nice. Yeah.
And so after I deconverted, I was still living with a Christian relative at the time. So it took about 6 months for me to openly show that I was atheist. And like listening to podcasts was a huge help for me because it showed me that they weren't evil, like, and I wasn't evil, and that there was a community to go into because I was leaving like a church that was really like close knit. So it.
And now you're on one of them.
Yes, exactly. And it's
how long was it? How long ago was this?
Oh, let's see, probably about 3 years. 3 years, maybe four. I can't really remember right now. It all kind of blends together. Yeah, but it hasn't been that long in the grand scheme of things.
We're just glad we're just glad she deconverted so she could be part of our group.
Yes,
here.
Yeah, I'm certainly glad she deconverted.
We just need a bit of wackiness in our group.
Yeah.
We need the one who has a sibling who's a Wiccan. That's the Warburg I feel right there. Yeah. That's right.
Check that box.
That's what our stories are Wiccan boring.
Got that one.
Oh. Yeah.
For your diversity checklist?
Exactly. Well, for our diversity checklist, Kirsten and I are actually engaged.
Yes, we are.
So that was another nice. Thing.
To each other?
Yes, to each other.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So that was another thing that deconverting from religion changed so much for me. Because until then, I was like, oh, I'm straight. And then I was like, oh, religion, God isn't a thing. And then I actually started like assessing myself and things that I felt and thought. And I was like, oh, I like girls. Okay.
So I guess Alex Jones is right. Atheism makes you gay. No.
I don't want to acknowledge that's the fluoride in the water.
Well, it does make you gay.
I'm joking.
It does make you gay. She's a positively happy person now.
Exactly.
My hairdresser is like the gayest man ever, and he's religious. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
He obviously doesn't read his Bible.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's just raised, in a very religious household, and I think he goes to a Unitarian church, and they
okay.
and
his son. That makes sense.
He feels it, and it is what it is.
There's actually a United Church here in town that has like a gay pastor.
Mm. Oh wow!
So then the congregation is mostly like it's an LGBT church, basically. So
interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean it's. It's better than the other kinds.
They don't even follow the Bible. They're just let's just do whatever.
It does speak highly to the need that we seem to have to believe in something, to have some answer. I think that's one of the flaws of our species. We don't we prefer a bad answer to a non-answer. And I think that's one of the big reasons why people stick to religion so much. It gives you an answer. It's not a good answer, but it gives you an answer nonetheless.
Yeah, that in the sense of community, right? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And also the sense of like how you grew up, right? You grew up thinking this is normal. This is how, it gives you that sense of child. Same reason that I got I love McDonald's because like the freaking commercials were on TV and they indoctrinated me as a kid to love it. And like, there's still something in me once in a while. I'm just like, I want a McDonald's. Like, it's just something, it's childhood, right?
They
also
bribe you.
Yeah.
With toys. Yeah.
With Happy Meals.
The other thing about religion is the shared experiences too. And like the singing and the sermons, you're all facing the dude while he's talking about shit. And then the rituals of communion, eating Jesus and drinking Jesus. And
not all religions have that, but
not all, but like a lot of them do. And just similar things that you do on a regular basis or like, how to level up in the religion.
Well, this is like our church, right? This is like our atheism church every other Friday.
Yeah, we bring the snacks. This is our eat the gummies and then we talk about stuff.
You know, during my deconversion, I started getting suspicious because the priest would say, give you the wafer and that was the body of Christ. Then he'd give you the wine and that was the blood of Christ. And then he pulled out a jar of mayonnaise. And I said, no, I said, we're done. We're done.
I'm not interested.
You know what? Two out of three is good.
At least it wasn't hollandaise sauce. Well,
not sure at this point. I just ran out of the church.
Louis C.K. does this bit where he calls like the icing on a Cinnabon like the best tasting jizz in the world or something. Oh my
gosh. Has he tasted his own jizz?
I don't know.
Probably.
You think he has?
By the way, maybe
you could ask him, but then he might sexually harass you.
Maybe jack off and be like, here, you try some. Maybe this that's what you would do. Yeah.
Maybe this is a good time for the audience to know that the comments of Left at Valley are not necessarily those of Brainstorm Podcasts and subsidiaries and affiliates.
We have that at the end.
Might not be such a bad
idea. We definitely have a disclaimer.
Okay, good.
Our comments are not even our own.
Did they not know this about us? Uh-oh.
It's rather impressive. Corey actually writes all our banter.
Really?
He's actually amazing that way.
Seems like chaos, but it's actually very closely scripted.
I'm really impressed with how he channels Angela.
He knows me so well. He understands me. So what I'd like to know about you guys is how you met each other and how you came to do the podcast in the Valley.
All right.
Well, actually, we were just all sort of wandering around in the junkyard and we saw this equipment that looked like kind of a microphone, and
is that
Kevin
like
kind
the
of
hurricane
wandered
that built
and said,
the
"Hey,
airplane?
You know,
exactly.
My God!"
And yet, Kevin said, "If we could find a console, we could put on a show." And we thought, "Oh, come on, Kevin!"
Mad Max, the podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nancy was drunk that night. It was karaoke night, actually. And she just happened to grab a microphone and say, "Who here hates God?" No, the real story.
It's not the song, Nancy.
the real story happened is I used to do documentaries. I used to show for the public for free. It was a little group called Cinema Politica. I used to show these documentaries and try to get people to discuss, and I would bring a guest on the topic that was relevant. And during these movies, it seemed that the bad guy was always corporate America. And then I started thinking, why is it always corporate America? And then my deconversion brought me to that line in the Bible that says, you know, that man will have dominion over the earth. And I realized that that was one of the reasons that we have so many problems today with our monetary system and our capitalist system. So I decided to be a bit more vocal about atheism and try to fight religion in that sense. Of course, people mock me right away. So I started listening to a whole bunch of podcasts. And to be quite honest, some of them are really, really good. Some of them really sucked. And I thought, geez, you know, I wonder if I could do something better than this. Turns out, no. But at least I give it a shot.
And we have fun doing it.
Yeah. Exactly.
At first, our shows were extremely rough. I mean, we've been doing this for 4 years now. Our show was, do yourself a favor, do not listen to our first shows. They're extremely rough. Nancy was always supportive from the get-go. And eventually, she just became part of the crew, and she's been with us ever since. The crew has, over time, has change. Some people have come, some people have gone, and it's always open format. What I think that's interesting about our show is a bit like what you guys are doing now. You're all in the same room, and there's this chemistry that develops. You see a lot of these podcasts out there, they'll have a guy in Ottawa and a guy in Montreal and a guy, and they're all communicating over the internet, which is great, but you don't have the same sense of chemistry that you guys are establishing right now with your podcast, and we're doing the same.
You can't smell each other. It's no good.
Exactly. You got to get close enough so you can smell each other.
Also another benefit of Angela.
Best smelling.
I feel
host.
Like I'm being singled out here.
We don't smell you, really.
You know, from listening to you guys and knowing us, I think we share the fact that we're all very different, and yet we come together with pretty much the same spirit, and we really are open to whatever goes on mm-hmm. during the show. If the whole thing is a tangent during our free period before the interview, that's okay. Yeah. We get through it and we have a good time, and we all bring something different into the show. Sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a weird thing, but it all works for us, and it's just a happy thing to come together. And if we have an audience, that's wonderful. That's what we
an audience. What that, was
yeah,
that?
We hope we're entertaining. But we always
yelling into the void.
Yeah, we always manage to entertain ourselves and everyone else at the same time. So it's a fun group, and we really sound pretty much the way you guys have come together.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. then, from from then on, of course, the show started to develop organically. At first, we weren't exactly sure where we're going. We had a whole bunch of different segments. We always stood with segments. You know, we have a bit like a radio format. We have a segment. We used to do a segment called This Day in History. And then we still have a segment called Another Brilliant Moment Brought to You by Religion. And a segment of the news, the local stuff. And then surely our show developed more into an interview-style show. So usually that's what we have. We usually have a guest on that. We do an interview for the second half of the show. The first half is pretty much what we're doing right now. We know we're doing chatting, doing a whole bunch of stuff, and our segments. There were some people that came here and wanted to do the show to be a debate show. We realized we were not necessarily good at debating or not. We just realized we're just normal people. You know, some of these people out there would like to have a show that's very, very intellectual. Well, we're not necessarily super intellectual, especially myself. You know, so we're just normal schmoes, you know, doing a show and talking to, like, having a coffee with people and the way you would normally engage people. And I think that's part of the charm of our show.
It is. And I think one of the things that makes our show is we really do our best. Well, Kevin does. I can't take any credit for it at all. Kevin really
gets... Oh, you flattered me, madam.
Yeah, Kevin really gets dynamite guests, and that we learn something, and that's when our audience really sits up and pays attention, because we get some fabulous guests in all kinds of disciplines.
Except for this Corey Johnson fellow. I really didn't like that. He was a bore, and you just kept talking about
it. It was kind of a crack in the road there.
Well, it wasn't a scripted show.
Who have been some of your favorite guests?
Yeah. Sorry?
So who have been some of your favorite guests?
Oh, my God.
That's not even a question. Eli Bosnick.
Oh, yeah. Eli Bosnick, nice. Thomas Cecil.
David Fitzgerald.
David Fitzgerald is always Bogosian. A great guest. Peter Bogosian. Arn Raw is always a favorite of ours as well.
Arn is wonderful. Jerry Coyne.
Yes. I had the immense pleasure of interviewing in person James Randi.
Yeah.
And that was a bit of a milestone. It was fantastic to meet the man. Oh, he was so great. I mean, the guy is what? He's in his 90s, 80s, 90s now? Yeah. And his brain is still incredibly sharp. His hands are still super smooth. And he's joking. He's doing card tricks in front of me as I'm interviewing him. It's like, you got to be kidding me. I just hope I'm half as sharp when I'm in my 80s. Yeah.
Daryl Ray.
Yeah, for sure.
Daryl Ray, yes. Dr. Daryl Ray. And we did a couple of good interviews with Dr. Veronica Drance about the whole LGBT transgendered issue, which actually brought us a new member of the crew. He's not here tonight, but his name is Brad. So he's going to be joining the crew too. But he's been in the middle of this whole fight. I was kind of hoping he'd be up here tonight for that. So yeah, our guests have been very various. We like to encourage authors. We bring them on. We talk about the book. We had Michael Sherman not too long ago. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt Dillahunty, Seth Andrews, of course. You know, the whole cabal. So we've had a tiny little show out of British Columbia. We've had some pretty stellar guests. Mm-hmm. And I'm not afraid to say that.
That's awesome.
And we had Sasquatch Hunter.
Yeah, we had a Sasquatch Hunter. Thomas the Sasquatch Hunter. He was actually very reasonable.
Yeah.
Did he at least find the studio?
Well, he had to come out of the woods. Yeah. But, you know, he was actually, we thought for sure that he would be a bit of a crank and all that, but no, he was actually super reasonable to the point of saying, you know what, he thought that Sasquatch was just a giganticus, a species of giganticus that was maybe still around, and I said to him, if we manage to prove that there is no such thing, would you accept that? He says, yeah, I would be forced to accept that, because that's where the evidence would lead me. And I thought, wow! You know, this was not at all what I expected to see from this guy. So we had some, very, very interesting guests.
Yeah, we have. And they all live to tell the tale.
Where in BC are you guys?
We are located in a little town called Abbotsford. Now, if you know Vancouver, we're about 45 minutes down the highway, Highway 1, heading east. Abbotsford has, what you might not know, happens to be the church capital of Canada. There are more churches per capita right here in Abbotsford than anywhere else in the country.
It's where the Bible Belt buckles it up.
Exactly. The town is run by the Mennonites. Nothing gets done here unless, you know, you're in kudos with the Mennonites. And
good.
Yeah. It's very conservative. So that's one of the reasons why we call the show Left of the Valley. It's not just because I have a tendency to hang left. It's also because, you know, you're a bit left in the valley by yourself when you're an atheist. So that was one of the reasons for the name of the show.
So do you have to do this on, like, underground? Is this in like an RV or something that's driving around the town?
Yeah, we got to keep moving.
Pirate radio.
tell Bruce to turn left. We got to keep moving, because if they trail us eventually, you know...
Quick, it's the Pope-mobile.
The Mennonites might feed you, though.
I know, right?
That's all the Mennonites would do.
Yeah, but you see, we tell the Mennonites that we're like the gremlins, you know? You don't get us wet. You don't feed us after midnight because we just might turn more rabid then.
Yeah. Scare them.
It wouldn't take much.
You know what'll happen if you get an atheist wet?
Yeah, I think even though we are like a heavily concentrated area of like religion, people are still pretty decent. Like Kirsten and I can like go walk in the mall and like hold hands, and we're not like being attacked.
Oh yeah,
thankfully. I definitely get like side looks.
Oh, there's some really great looks.
For your American listeners, we have to specify here: the Canadian Bible Belt is nowhere near
the American
what the Americans Bible. Have. Nowhere near that.
Saskatchewan conservatism is a little bit more like down in the States than some places.
Yeah, that's because they got nothing to do.
We're definitely Alabama A.
Oh my gosh.
Alabama light.
Yeah.
No, I always have a feeling that because the population of the planet is so religious, I think Earth is like the Alabama of the universe. I think aliens don't even want to stop here for that, right? It's like, don't even stop there, Zorg. Not even for fuel. These people are just obsessed. They're obsessed with anal probing for some reason.
No, it's not over that one guy. Come on.
Stop only for rectal probing. That is all.
Yeah, they're obsessed with it on this planet. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, you know? As soon as they see you, they just drop their pants. It's like, I don't know. Maybe that's how they say hello on Earth. I don't know.
Instead of hands up, pants down?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
You guys are regretting us having this by now, aren't you?
So what's the religious reach in your government like there?
Religious reach in the government. Well,
do you have a lot of prayer in your legislative buildings and
whatnot? Not so much right now, because right now we have an NDP government.
And Green.
Mm-hmm. And with a coalition with the Greens. Before that, we had a Liberal, although they call themselves Liberals, they're actually Conservatives. The ex-premier was much more prone to go to prayer meetings and stuff like that. But there are some groups that are working hard to make sure that religion doesn't encroach too much. For example, I found out not too long ago that creationism is not allowed to be taught in our schools here in BC, which is great, and that's been happening since 96. So there is progress. However, Abbotsford being just on the U.S. border, we're really close. I mean, I can just drive 2 miles down there if we take a right, and we'll be at the U.S. border. We are seeing a bit of an influx coming from the south. A couple years ago, Nancy and I noticed that there were some creationist booth, for example, at the Agri-Fair and stuff like that. So we're seeing it's trying to seep in. It's trying to sneak in, right?
Yeah, we have a...
Do you have, the pro-lifers and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
On university campuses and whatnot?
Maybe not on university campuses, but I know there's a church that every October they'll do a protest on the side of the road.
We have a religious college at the town just to the west of us called Langley,
yes,
which is Trinity Western, mm-hmm, which is a very conservative. And if you've heard about them, they're the university that wants and did start a law school, mm-hmm, but they've been in litigation ever since to see whether or not they're actually a law school or whether they're
had a behavior pledge thing going on.
Yeah,
right. You have to have chastity.
I don't think it was required chastity, but you couldn't have like extramarital relations.
Yeah, well, you had to be married to have relations. So even if you're dating, you're not allowed.
Yeah, well, you could get married if you're gay, but you couldn't have relate. No, you couldn't even get married or have.
No, if you were married, that was fine. But if you're a single person, no, you're not having date night or sex night or anything like that.
No,
and if you're LGBT, forget that.
Yeah, forget about it.
Yeah.
I do know that I don't know about all Christian religions, but the Catholics believe that you are being chaste if you have sex within marriage.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Oh, that is
the definition of chastity.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Catholics have sex, really?
Have you seen how many kids they have?
Some of them have a lot of kids, so I got to assume.
I thought that was just the Irish thing.
Trinity Western has a I don't know what you call it. You have an affirmation that everyone has to sign, including
they call it the covenant.
The faculty, and you actually have to sign that you believe in hell. And if you don't believe in hell, they can kick you off campus and out of the faculty. It's pretty conservative.
Which, of course, as you guys will, I'm sure you'll agree, which what bothers us a lot about the Trinity Western is this is like the making of Pat Robertson University North Edition, essentially, right? It's exactly how these universities started down there, and these people have a plan. And it's one of the things I lament about atheism. We have a tendency to rest on our laurels too much because we have a tendency to say, well, we have the truth on our side. Maybe so, but in the political arena, truth doesn't matter. The Christians are always on the attack. They're always on the attack, and they don't take no for an answer until they get what they want.
Well, for a lot of people, a comforting lie is better than a hard truth.
Yeah. But we are still the only line of defense, really.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Can we go back to the thing about, like, how if you don't believe in hell, you get kicked out of the college? Because isn't what you believe sort of not – you don't choose what you believe, right? You believe whatever it is that the evidence feelings whatever it is that convinces you of something. Like, I couldn't make myself believe in God.
You and I know that, but you talk about a population that believes you can choose to be gay. So in their mind, it doesn't matter. As far as the Christians are concerned, yes, you can choose to believe it.
Yeah, that's true. They believe in the whole free will external of your brain type thing.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right?
And the whole taking Jesus in your heart kind of thing too.
This is where you get all these wonderful lines like, "Oh, you don't go to, you're not sent to hell. You send yourself to hell because you choose to go to hell," and all that stupidity they come up with. It's because these people don't view belief the same way we do. We understand belief. We've studied it. We understand how it's, you know, it's not something you could just choose. But to the religious mind, it's not something they've accepted yet.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we had I think it was in 2015, we have a humanist atheist group that used to meet every Sunday, and there were about, at the peak of the group, I guess there were about 20, 25 of us, and we got a little brash and decided we'd put on a couple of events that were draws for the humanist group in Vancouver as well as ours, and open to the public. And one of the events that we put on was a debate between Richard Carrier and one of the faculty, actually at Trinity Western. His name was Michael Horner.
That's right.
And we had it at the university here, which was very open to having the event. We packed the house. No blows were started either way. And it started a dialogue, I think, between the two communities that lasted about 15 minutes. But at least everybody came together, and we had a question and answer period, and we really felt at that time that the community realized that we were here, and maybe we weren't intellectually harmless, but at least we had a presence, and I think we gained a little bit of respect. It was a really good. We also had Peter Boghossian here,
and Eugenie Scott,
and Eugenie Scott. Yeah.
Let me tell you something about Richard Carrier. He's a great guy, and you know that guy can pack his whiskey. He is good.
So it's a tiny town. It's about 150,000. But we've had some pretty significant nice events that we're proud of. So that's a good
thing. Did you just call it a tiny town?
Yeah, they're weird.
No, you know, I hear you. I'm from, this is by far the smallest city I've ever lived in, but most people out here like are from an actual small town, like from a town of like 500 people.
I have a brother.
I grew up in a hamlet.
Of how many?
80.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, everyone to them, Regina, which is 200,000 people, is the big city.
Hey guys, let me be ashamed of that. Size doesn't matter, guys. The size of your town or the size of your microphone doesn't matter. Trust me.
That's right.
I guess we have a small town mentality.
Actually, that's not true. The mic size does matter.
The mic size does matter.
Some guys
so does penis size. No, I mean,
one Dave disagrees.
It does when you're trying to target it for radiation therapy.
It's all about
We're not
girth.
Talking about that.
Dave, did you say
No, the microphone diaphragm.
Diaphragm?
The size of the diaphragm matters.
That's right.
It actually does.
It offers a lot of protection. Like like I said, the comments of Left of the Valley and Brainstorm Podcast are not necessarily those of.
Well, okay, we say it at the end.
The Brainstorm will try not to get any on you. There may be some splashback.
Might be some splashback. Oh my god. And I thought this was going to be a classy affair tonight. Whoa.
Dude, we never do classy.
No, I know, but I was hoping.
I'm sorry, we do, classy.
We do classy, just sometimes it's third classy.
There we go.
Oh, that was brilliant. Oh, sorry, guys. We were saying?
I forgot where we were.
We're talking about deconversion. We're talking about the city of Abbotsford. Yeah. And talking about
the tiny town of Abbotsford.
That's right. To be fair, living next to Vancouver.
I have family that live there.
That's the least surprising thing.
What now?
You had family that lived there?
In Abbotsford.
My condolences.
I like Abbotsford.
They probably know them. It's a tiny town.
Yeah. Exactly.
Was it Bob? Oh, yeah. She's talking about Bob. You know Bob.
I've heard more than one story where that has happened, where someone from Canada has been traveling internationally and sits beside somebody on a plane and they have a common friend.
Yep, I know people Bob that from has Canada.
He moved to Germany.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw his post. He's a Canadian in a Canada van.
Sure, it wasn't Bob McKenzie. Everybody knows him.
No, that's the other Bob. We all know that Bob.
It was Doug McKenzie.
Oh god. Sure, yeah. I've seen a stand-up comedian do that bit where it's like, yeah, they always say if you're from Canada, then do you know Tim from Toronto? Yeah, Tim. He's an asshole.
Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
He makes
good coffee.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
Blasphemy.
Nope, there's the line.
We were talking last week, though.
Say 27 roll-ups before you kneel before the cup again.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you guys. I was wondering if you guys have seen in your circle of influence anybody who's frustrated by the federal government's new regulations about government funding to different nonprofit organizations. There's been a lot of blowback from Christian organizations who aren't getting funding now from the government because they have to say that they believe in same-sex marriage.
The Charter of Rights.
Yeah, that's what they have to say.
I'm sure the conservatives are no problem with this.
But the same-sex thing is in the Charter of Rights.
Have you guys noticed anything to that end?
I haven't, because the religious people that, like, my family members aren't very politically engaged, unless it's like through Alex Jones, and he doesn't really care about Canada. No. But I honestly haven't
When you come to BC, federal politics really takes a backseat. Really, it really goes far, and a lot of people in BC have a tendency to feel isolated because of that. Because of course, most of the population of the country is in Quebec and Ontario, and of course, most of the attention is spent there as well. Yeah. So BC has a tendency to feel a bit left, like that. Last child that's being ignored. BC has
so we throw symptom. A lot of temper tantrums.
No, the funny thing is we don't do it right. If we actually did it right, we could actually get some stuff in BC.
Yeah, but you actually have MPs. We have one.
Yeah.
Seriously?
No, we have more than one MP.
We have one in the ruling party, I should say.
Oh, yeah, okay. We have one in the liberal party.
Yeah, that's right. Because everybody else voted conservative. Yeah.
Everyone
sucks.
No. We got an NDP MP here. NDP riding right now. My friend Aaron Weir.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you really friends with him?
Yeah, we were good friends with his parents, actually.
You know, as a Quebecer, I get a lot of people that right here in BC, they'll tell me, oh, Quebec always gets whatever it wants. You know, why is it always, you know, they always get their stuff? And I say, well, yeah, exactly. That's how politics works. You know, take, for example, Quebec and BC. Quebec will whine, BC will whine. Quebec will do something about it, and BC has a tendency to say, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, remember, was it, what year was it when the whole province of Quebec went NDP orange? You know?
2013, 2012.
The year doesn't matter, but if any province did something like that, if any province stood up as one and just went one different color, don't you think that Ottawa would notice? Yeah, they would. For sure. They would. And the reason it's not happening is people...
Things might change for BC when they would legalize weed.
Oh, heck yeah.
Things might change a little bit there.
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah, it's really interesting with the different government that's just come in, because it is a way more left-leaning with the Green and NDP. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting to see the different things they've been doing, where with the Liberals, when they were in power, it wasn't even like an option or an idea.
Well, what troubles me, though, is you're still seeing the same kind of... polarization you see down south in the States. It's totally happening up here, right? I mean, you have some people that, for example, they'll say, oh, the NDP in BC, we don't like him. And then when you ask them why, they can't really give you an answer. You know, they just hate him because they're supposed to.
He's part of the others.
Yeah, exactly. He wants his Liberals back in, or his or hers. And that's the way they do it. And even when you...
Yeah.
I think there's a very link that you can actually make between religion and politics. Because when you actually sit down with somebody, you say, for example, they're conservatives, you start asking about their history, and you realize, well, mom and dad voted conservative, and grandpa voted conservative, and I vote conservative. And then when you start asking deeper questions about the policy, you realize you're not conservative at all. You would actually more align with another party. You just vote conservative because you've always done that. The same way we do with religion. You believe in Jesus. Why? Not because you ever gave it any thought. It's because you were raised in it, and you accept it as a fact of life.
So you're going to start the Bloc Québécois in BC?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
That's because Bloc Colombie-Britannique doesn't really like roll off the tongue the same way.
There is a faction. There is a bit of a movement here in BC that would love to see separation from the rest of the country.
That's such a bad idea.
I know it is a bad
Bloc
idea.
Bloc CB.
Such a bad idea.
Bloc CB. Yeah. As a Quebecer who was there during the whole last vote for separation and sovereignty in Quebec, if my Generation X, doesn't vote for sovereignty, it will never happen. Because it's a movement that appeals to the very old and that have been there forever, and the very young that are very rebellious. Anybody that's in between that has seen outside of the Quebec and has seen that, you know, people are not out there to kill you, you realize, no, there's no difference really. You know, there's just...
Was that actually an attitude in Quebec at one point?
You see that...
As kind of like a strain of isolationism to it?
Almost. When I first announced that I was moving to Vancouver, some people were coming to warn me and say, hey, look my buddy Bob went to Vancouver and he was wearing his fleur-de-lis.
Same Bob, right?
He was wearing his fleur-de-lis on his t-shirt and he was stabbed. You hear all these stupid anecdotes, right? And when I'm here in BC and I hear stories of people, hey, you ever visited Quebec? Oh no, I can't go there because my buddy Bob went over there and he was speaking English and he got stabbed. It's
Bob's
just
not lucky.
Bob goes around. You have no idea how Bob goes around.
He obviously smashed a few mirrors in his youth.
It really is just that. It's anecdotal and crappy evidence, but people just attach themselves to these stories.
What part of Quebec are you from?
Quebec City.
Yeah, so that's why Abbotsford is small for him.
Quebec City's not that big. It's only about 500,000.
Only.
I'm sorry. We between your two cities, you have our province. Well, most of it,
just about.
So, yeah.
Well, we got a million people here.
We don't even have an IKEA still here.
Oh my gosh! You an IKEA, don't have and I was IKEA? Like,
so you mean?
You don't have Costco?
They don't have an IKEA. That means all their furniture.
Okay, that's good.
They don't have an IKEA.
Does Saskatoon have two?
I think Saskatoon has two.
Fuck Saskatoon.
they have an IKEA, which means no, they don't have don't. You don't no. have an IKEA, which no. means but all their furniture is straight.
We just got an H&M.
H&M? Didn't that go out of business years ago?
I don't give a fuck about H&M.
So cheap.
We can pull that and...
That's your bumper.
That's my bumper.
I don't give a fuck about H&M.
Except check it. Change it. Dave will change it so you say, I don't give a fuck about S&M.
I'm sure I could find an S somewhere.
Yeah, do it. I could just say it.
I mean, just come in here one day and record your own damn bumper.
That's okay. I'm recording everything on my end too. So
perfect.
So what do you feel is the most distinct thing about being the left of the valley?
Sorry, say that again?
What do you think is the most distinct? Like, what would you consider a defining feature?
Like I said, we're an interview-based show. The fact that okay. The fact that we're here, and with the fact that, you know, we're from different walks of life and different avenues, and often, you know, I'll have a guest and I'll have a couple of questions prepared, but you never know where an interview is going to go. So I might ask questions, but then Kirsten will pipe up with a question that I never would have thought of. Because, you know, and that's how I used to encourage people to come on the show. People would say, oh, I don't know what to say. I wouldn't know what to say on the if you put a microphone in front of me. It doesn't matter. You will say something that somebody in the audience would have thought of that maybe I would never think of.
That's how I ended up here.
No, I dragged you along.
You dragged you on the street.
You did. You broke into the RV. It's like, I have things exactly. to say.
Everybody's got a different point of view.
I bring donuts, though.
Donuts are the best.
I think what's...
Corey, why don't we have donuts?
I'm not bringing donuts.
I've brought donuts a few times. Somebody ate them.
I ate them.
That's true. Dave ate them. That's true.
What's Thanks distinctive about yeah. us is exactly the same thing that's distinctive with you. If our show, if our show had exactly the same format with a different cast of characters, it'd be a totally different show. And the same with you. If you had all of the content, but you had a group of different people, it would be totally different and not as interesting and not as fun. And the chemistry would be different. It might be entertaining, but it wouldn't be distinctive the way it and unique the way it is with us. And I think that's what drives us, is being able to know that when we come in, we have no idea what's going to happen except for the interview. And sometimes we surprise ourselves that we're so bad, and sometimes we surprise ourselves because we're so outstanding, and we're someplace in between, and that's what makes us distinctive.
And this was a perfect example, because just before the show, we were talking about this kind of stuff, and I was saying, the great thing about Nancy is that when I give a crappy answer, she takes over the show and gives a very good answer. That was a very good example right there. Right there. I gave a crappy answer and she just jumped in and just bam, analyzed everything.
It happens all the time.
Exactly.
Nah. Is she the Batman to your Robin?
Yeah. Pretty much. I'm actually more of a Joker in this thing. I just know how to play purpose record on this podcast, and that's my function. You know,
and you don't always tell us when you do press
tell
record.
People that, the reason that I make the most mistakes is because I'm the one who has to talk the most. So that's fair.
Yes, it is.
But don't you guys feel that it's the chemistry between all of you that makes you so distinctive?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Well, I was thinking if we took everyone and replaced it, our show might be good.
Chemistry would be different, but it might be good.
Corey wouldn't be listening. He'd just be watching those listener numbers and just like cursing to himself.
Would these new hosts like actually read their articles before the podcast?
Yeah, it would help.
Really? Weird.
Shots fired.
I totally deserve that. Can we have a Nancy on our show, Corey? Can you put in an application for one somewhere?
I'm sure
there is only one Nancy.
Yeah, there's only one Nancy.
She has murdered off all the other wandering Jews.
I just outlasted everybody.
A knockoff Nancy?
I think she has a very aggressive copyright on that.
It's like Nancy with an I.
It's a firm patent.
Where's this energy going?
Go down by Nancy to somebody's van.
Compliments, Nancy. Great value, Nancy.
I feel like this is every time when you steer us back from a tangent. This is what would happen if you didn't steer us back, Kevin.
I think you're right. She should start her own band, Nancy and the Jews. Ooh, that'd be a great band.
Actually, it would be a really good band. I'd go to that gig.
I've been everywhere,
They have their shofar.
There was a sort of a Western band in Texas, and I forget, it was somebody in the Jew Boys, but I forget who the lead was.
And the Jew Boys, really?
I can take it over now. Nancy and the Jew Boys.
Nancy and the Jew Boys.
And that's what we're going to title this episode.
Oh, fuck. Are we going to get blowback from that?
We're either going to get sued or the most listeners you ever.
I think it's from some. I think everybody, all
right, everybody that was listening to the show right now just hung up, I think. Oh, God.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
We needed that.
I think that what makes us distinct is, like you say, the chemistry with everybody, but it changes because we have people who can't make it all the time, and exactly. We have like three or four other members who sometimes substitute in, so it's a different dynamic.
You guys are a good sized crew. I'm quite envious. Was it difficult for you? Was
he
it difficult
wants to
for
get
you
rid
guys?
Of me.
No.
Are we not good enough for you, Kevin?
Do you not appreciate my Harry Potter jokes?
The comments of Kevin are not
bring the RV to Regina night.
Yeah, drive the RV this way. Yeah,
just imagine like if the crew that you have was unreliable and kind of flaky.
So you need to have like at least eight to have a critical mass of a show. Yeah. Ever.
Okay, good. So it sounds exactly like our show, actually.
I got like a 35-40% attendance rate and need all of you people.
Oh, I get that kind of stuff. 15 minutes before the show starts. Oh, we can't make it. What? No!
You've seen some of Corey's emails?
Corey sends emails?
Yeah, well, he keeps sending me his dick pics. I really wish he'd stop that.
This is about you, Lionel.
Leo.
Fuck. You're going to make fun of him. At least get his name right.
Oh, no.
If you're going to make fun of somebody, make fun of Gumby.
Yeah.
Who the hell is that guy?
Yeah. Right now, Gumby's King Flake.
Possibly dead.
Gumby's always been King Flake.
God. His name isn't actually Gumby, but I was having a hard time figuring that out early on.
He's just really tall.
And he used to be really skinny.
And he used to be skinny, so yeah. That's why he got his nickname.
Yeah.
No.
Does he have a horse called Pokey?
And no, he did not have
it. He may call his car Pokey.
Yeah. He would never call his car anything derogatory because he sells them and has totally drunk the Mazda Kool-Aid. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyways, sorry.
So what we have guests here.
Yeah, I know. This show took a left big time.
Do we ask what they do when you're not making millions of dollars podcasting? What else do you do with your time?
I milk cows. Podcasting.
Cows?
Yep, I milk cows.
Wow.
Do you by hand?
By hand?
Yep, I sit down with my pail. No, it's machines. I use machinery.
I thought you worked at some weird organic farm.
Oh, God, no.
Hand-squeezed cows.
No, she says that, but she's actually an escort. She's a female escort.
So milking cows. Yeah.
But only for breastfeeding mothers.
So do you still use the term milking cows?
Yes.
Well, what else would you call it? What other term
attaching
would you
use? Attaching machinery to cows?
No, but he says you still call it milking cows. What else would you call it?
Playing with tits.
Yeah,
that was utterly insane
on a resume. Yeah.
Well, it's not so much that you can't
one
put it on
should.
A resume. It's not that you can't put it on a resume. It's hard to justify that you've been doing it for 8 years.
No, well,
and you want to consider experience
because they
the
keep
field.
Moving. No, yeah, cows keep moving.
But it makes such good money. Such good money.
She's a lesbian. Fine.
The escort job or the milking cows?
Both.
Okay.
So we have someone who milks cows. What do the rest of you fine folks do for a living?
Nothing as entertaining as that. I work at a hardware store.
Hey, it's useful.
It is very useful.
Yeah. I used to do sales for a hydraulic company, and now I just switched jobs. I'm going to be a crane operator.
What company?
It was a company called British Hydraulics.
Okay.
It was a small repair. It was a repair
shop. Competitor.
Sorry?
I work for a sort of competitor.
Oh, really?
Quick, fight!
Yeah.
Fight!
High power?
Fight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I work for the parent company. I applied.
What are the odds?
Small world. Yeah.
It's Canada.
We called it. We called it, folks.
I'm also not known as Bob.
Yeah. And Nancy Walsh, Nancy, she's the Wandering Jew, so she,
yeah, well, she's done everything.
She travels and kills people for contracts.
And I'm going to be the lead singer for the
Nobody with Nancy and the Dancing
Boys. So that'll take up a lot of time.
You know, do you make decent money? Do you have to take in between jobs?
Well, between assassinations?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Between assassinations, you make a lot of money.
Oh, between. Oh, yeah.
She's a veteran. She can pick her own contract now. You know, if they have a huge audience, I'm sure there's going
to
be.
She doesn't have to pick up shifts at Starbucks.
I'm a little old lady. I can get away with anything. I'm at the. I can do outrageous. I can blend into the crowd. Doesn't make any difference. I'm there.
I watched that movie.
She's a Nancy the Ninja.
I feel like she'd be played by Helen Mirren.
That's yes.
Oh yes. Absolutely. Oh yes. Totally. Totally. Oh, absolutely.
Or Betty White.
Yeah, that's a tough choice.
That's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing going on there with Betty White all of a sudden. Miss Hyde.
Oh my god!
No, I mostly do volunteer work with the homeless, and I support Dying with Dignity, which is one of the groups here that does a lot of good work. So I keep busy.
Nancy tried to open up the first Canadian Dignity Village right here in Abbotsford. There's a model of a village in Portland where the homeless are brought into these tiny, tiny houses where it gives them a chance to get themselves together and get off the drugs and get themselves clean and build a resume and stuff like that. And Nancy had worked very hard with a friend of ours, Jeff, to do this, bring this kind of thing here for the homeless in Abbotsford. But unfortunately, her efforts were met with a city that was more willing to legislate by...
Well, they like developers, and they really didn't care that much about the homeless. So they didn't believe that a self-empowered village could be run well by people who are homeless. So we gave it 4 years and tried our best, but it'll happen.
It's very unfortunate. It all started. Was it the chicken manure incident that actually made international news?
That's right.
The mayor at the time wanted to get rid of the homeless camp, and he had the city dump chicken manure all over the camp in an effort to get them to disperse. And it was absolutely disgraceful. It made international news. And Nancy at the time was working hard behind the scenes to try to get these people to some safe location. And she did fantastic work. She actually had a private donor that gave the land. And all the city had to do was basically route a bus line and maybe give them water. And the thing was self-sustaining. And the city still said no, because they'd rather operate by their philosophy, conservative philosophy, here in the valley.
Yeah.
And, of course, I thought it was outrageous because, you know, in such a Christian holy city as Abbotsford, you would think the homeless would be taken care of. But no.
But there is a documentary called The Chicken Manure Incident, which tells you what Abbotsford was like in 2013 and 14.
I'm still pissed off about that because the guy who did the documentary at the time visited our group, our atheist group, and he was a Christian filmmaker. And normally when you do a documentary, you know, you expose the problem, you go deep into the problem, and normally you try to end with a positive solution. Well, the guy chose at the end, instead of ending with Nancy and her group trying to build a Dignity Village to help them, he decided to end his documentary with showing the homeless people being baptized in a kiddie pool.
What?
And I thought, what a moron! Why would you do such a thing? What is that going to
do? Very helpful.
Exactly. It's not going to help at all. And of course, you know, because we found out he was a Christian filmmaker, so...
Right.
So he already had his conclusion figured out before he finished his documentary.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting experience. You know, things will work out the way they're supposed to. It just takes time and determination and a belief that there's a right way that will eventually conquer all of the apathy, that it'll work out.
But it pisses me off because this is such a problem that we shouldn't have as a society in general at all. I was talking to a friend the other day, said, you know, you do realize, for example, you just take the United States. These churches in the United States make $80 billion a year, it's estimated, right? Now, the UN came out and said it would take costs between $30 and $50 billion a year to solve hunger worldwide. Now, the U.S., just the U.S. churches, which is 5% of the world population, could solve that problem by themselves. So if you still have poverty today in the world, it's not because we can't solve it. It's because we don't want to. And I don't care how much Christian charity you think you do. It's bullshit. All you're trying to do is you're trying to say, okay, I'll give you a sandwich, but listen to this sermon first.
Well, and that's a reason why, like, I know people who are like, oh, there shouldn't be, like, support systems for impoverished people because, oh, charities will take care of it. It's like, no, they won't.
No, exactly. Charities don't. They don't. Anyway, don't get me going there.
that's a rabbit hole we could go down for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
This show started
coming up on the hour, so I think what we'll do is get you to plug your stuff. And then let you go.
Oh, is it unplugged? Okay. well, our show is Left and Valley. If you want to hear more about our quacky little adventures, you can find us at leftandvalley.com. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter at LETV Podcast. You can send us an email at leftatvalley@outlook.com. You can send your complaints to Nancy on the third floor.
I don't know. Is that safe?
Well, it depends if she throws you off the third floor, right?
You don't want the assassin having your address.
I told you, I blend in any place.
Absolutely.
And, look, she's behind you.
And of course, we broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, but you can also find us on Spreaker, on Stitcher, on iTunes, on YouTube, and all these podcast things. Yeah, exactly. Android, whatever they call it.
Yay.
Do you do the Twitter?
Yeah, we do the Twitter a bit, a little bit.
We're not very technologically advanced.
You were supposed to give that Twitter again.
I know, but I'm not. Okay, I will. Yep.
No defense there, hey?
Nope.
No defense there.
As long as you use protection.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Or just not have to worry about pregnancy because you don't hang out with dudes.
Yeah.
No dick, no problem.
That is a good point.
I feel attacked here. Since I'm the only male in the room.
When you're a woman, you know, men and their semen is just annoying.
Sorry?
I don't blame you, actually.
And we're back there. We just came all the way back around to where we started the show with blowjobs and semen. All right.
We never did get around to sex semen with furniture, annoying. Though, and that's the a disappointment.
No, that is not the message of the show.
Story is apparent.
Guess you could say we've come full circle.
That was good.
If you turn left the whole time, you come first. Full circle.
There we go. Right? That's a new logo right there.
You make a mess of that one intersection, though.
Oh, you gotta give it to Carson.
All right.
She doesn't say much, but she says something. Goddamn.
We've reached the climax of the episode.
I need a cigarette now.
Have we, though? Into the afterglow.
Something really sleepy. Let's watch the lady.
Going. Yeah, so if you guys are interested... Well, if you guys are interested, last week we had Shelley Siegel on our show, and this week we'll have Jessica Schaub, which is actually, she used to be Crystal Child. So that should be interesting. Whoa. They're not listening. They're
sweet.
Lying to her.
Cool.
Cute. Be nice to them.
I'm always nice. Thank you so much for having us on the show, guys.
All the way here.
We appreciate that.
Thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun.
We should do this again. This
was so much fun.
Yeah, we should do this again.
We should.
As soon as we find a place to park our trailer there.
Maybe we'll someday.
Oh, you're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Yeah. You guys in?
We'll need a bigger studio.
Yeah, we'll need a bigger studio.
Dave, you have to move.
We need another rec table.
I have enough microphones, I think. So, there you go.
Perfect.
Hey.
All right, thanks again, and have a good one.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good one.
Take care.
Oh, God.
That was so fun.
Now I'm going to stop the recording on our end, because I've been recording this all along. And there was our Hour of Mayhem with the crew from the Brainstorm podcast. We had a blast with these guys, so I certainly would like to thank them. We should totally do that again. I sure look forward to doing this again with them in the future. Well, thank you so much for joining us for that special bonus show, guys. I hope you enjoyed maybe a quick look behind the scene of what goes on when you're actually doing podcasting. Follow us at leftatvalley.com. You can send us an email at leftatvalley@outlook.com. Follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, at LETV Podcast. Join us next time, because this weekend, same weekend we're airing this show, we're also doing a show with Jessica Schaub, and we'll be doing a show. She used to be Crystal Child, so that will be a very, very interesting interview. And we'll also be appearing on our friend The Right to Reason podcast with Robert Stanley. And you know, since we had so much fun with Corey and Brainstorm there, I just might record that show with Robert as well. So we'll let you guys know. Thank you so much, guys. Until next time. Genocide and pain caused by your cold. There must be something missing in your brain. I'm proud to be an atheist, a skeptic, a non-believer, an infidel, a heathen. I call it how I see it. I say it's ignorance and you just call it faith. And unsubstantiated claims, that's something to be ashamed. I'm an atheist. Atheist, atheist. Intelligent people can reach the conclusion that all non-believers are evil. What a fucked up statement. Do you realize what you're saying? But according to your book, this is how your God made me. Skeptical of anything that contradicts history, denies evolution, hates science, promotes mystery. I'd rather seek the truth than to bask in my own ignorance. Rather be alone than surrounded by damn idiots. As long as there's a breath in my body, you can bet your last dollar I'll be working hard fighting this problem. Religion is a disease. It comes from culture, only true on a regional scale. Science is universal. Were you to say that Horus isn't real, but Jesus is, or Zeus, Thor, Mithra, Vishnu, you don't believe in them? I think the reason is apparent. You do what you're told and believe in the God assigned by your parents. I'm proud to be an atheist, a skeptic, a non-believer, an infidel, a heathen. I call it how I see it. I say it's ignorance and you just call it faith. And unsubstantiated claims, that's something to be ashamed. I'm an atheist.
Atheist, atheist.
I'm an atheist.
Atheist, atheist.
Now let me take a sec, don't mean to sound so hateful, but I swear to God, pun intended, I find it disgraceful that thousands of children are raped by priests, and since they're holy men of God, they get away scot-free. And the Pope does his very best to keep it on the hush, don't wanna affect business, he loves money too much. We know that they love the kids, but how the fuck can we protect them while they planning to molest them? We teaching them to respect them.
Respect them? Fuck that.
The system is broke down, working backwards, and the only action or tactic I plan to practice now is to attack them. The parties of God's hands are bloodstained, millions of murders by believers, and they're all in God's name. And let me take a